The Spirit of God would say, this week marks a turning point in the lives of those who are here and who are watching. From before the foundation of the world, this event has been planned. That which will take place during this week is to be for each of you an opportunity to go deeper into me than you've ever known before. I say unto you, open your hearts and your minds to receive from me, because what I have to give you is going to impact your lives from this time forward. You are here by way of the internet or in person for a divine purpose, having a divine assignment. I am going to be working in you all this week in preparation for what is to come. Too many in the church, the body of Christ, have ignored the signs of what is coming. Some have picked up in the spirit what is taking place. My desire is for you to become more spiritually aware of what I am doing, but also what the enemy is doing. My desire is for you to live in absolute victory in every area of your life. Jesus died to provide for you the avenue of victory for everything you will face. There is a plan for your life. And this plan will be enacted as you cooperate with God. For I am here to help bring to pass that which He has ordained from before the foundation of the world. You are not insignificant. You are vital to the kingdom of God. So again I say unto you, open your heart and mind to receive what is going to be delivered to you. Be prepared to cast down any preconceived notions about what I do and how I operate and how you are to operate in this world. I know what is coming, and I am here to prepare you. So again I say, open your heart and mind to receive all this week. And when each service is over, do not walk away thinking it's over till the next service. No, because my intention is to minister to you 24 hours a day, even in your sleep. Yes. So from this day forward, know this. For some of you, this is going to be the greatest week of your life. The victory is yours, yes, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to lead you in some personal prayer confessions. This is what I speak over myself really every day. I can't remember the last time that I didn't do this. And as I read this, as I said, this is something that you can follow along and repeat after me. And this is going to lead into the message for this morning. The verses from which these confessions are put together are listed at the top of this. And by the way, a copy of this is out there in that rack, the topical papers rack. So if you want one, you can take a copy for yourself. So here it is. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life and ministry as you have planned it out in heaven. Please give my family and me,
our daily bread,
and supply all our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Please forgive me of all sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Please continue working in me, helping me to be increasingly sensitive to all forms of temptation, evil, and distractions. I will overcome all temptations, evil, and distractions because I choose to live according to the new man, which after God was created in righteousness and true holiness. I choose to live by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. I hunger and thirst after righteousness. I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I am risen with Christ and seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. I set my affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways I acknowledge him, and he directs my paths. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The peace of God that passes all understanding keeps my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ and bring my mind and thoughts into subjection to the mind of Christ, so that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Father, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Every day, I speak this over myself. And the reason is not because I want to be, you know, a good little Christian. And that's what, you know, a good little Christian is supposed to do. It's because I'm speaking the Word of God through those confessions. And the Word of God is the will of God. And God's Word does not return void. So therefore, as I am speaking God's word and his will over me in that fashion, then it's as though I'm opening the door of my life for him to work more and more within me. See, I don't want to be the way I was yesterday. I want to be the way Christ wants me every day. In other words, I want constant change in my life to be more like him. On January 5th of this year, Gary Carpenter preached a sermon by way of Zoom at the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, Florida. That's Pastor Bronx Church. And the title of that sermon is The Year of Believing. Now, you can find it at Pastor Bronx's website and at Brother Gary's website. as I was listening to that, what happened is something that's very common for me, not with every sermon I listen to, but with many of them. As I'm listening, it's almost like the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, and he's pointing things out in the sermon, drawing my attention to them for a reason. And when that happens, I'll make some kind of notes about what he's saying. You know, it's interesting how that when you're listening to a sermon, whether just the audio or you're watching it, if you pray softly in tongues, you can hear both what the preacher's saying and what the Holy Ghost is saying. So anyway, that was happening. And as he was doing this, as the Holy Spirit was doing this with me, he began using what he shared to lay a foundation that I knew I was going to be teaching during this conference. So since that time, you know, I've tried to be more sensitive, increasingly sensitive to what he wanted to say to me in preparation for this. And even last night, you know, I'm lying in bed and thinking about this, and it was interesting how that as I was there in bed and I'm thinking about all this, the thought of a newspaper, looking at a newspaper, popped up. Well, sometimes, you know, the Lord, he does things that are just a little different. You know what I'm saying? Like a newspaper. I wasn't thinking about a newspaper. All of a sudden, there's a newspaper. And in the process of that, you know, sometimes when the Lord ministers to you, you don't hear a voice. It's as though he is making impressions upon your spirit. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but he was doing that, and I'm thinking here about, yeah, a newspaper. It's like, you know, you look at a newspaper and all this bad stuff, you know, wars and rumors of wars. The economy this, the economy bad. Good, in between. The, you know, good politicians and bad politicians, and they all hate each other. You see all of the tragedies, the storms and the hurricanes and the floods and all this stuff. But then it hit me. The worst part of any newspaper, the absolute worst part, it's the obituaries. And the Lord shared with me that the obituaries are like free advertising for Satan. Look what I did. This person died, they were murdered. This person died from a drug overdose. This person had a heart attack at 23 years old. This baby died. This, I mean, on and on. We don't even think of it like that. Now, granted, you see some people, you know, 95 years old, passed away, and they say, you know, natural circumstances. That is a lie. Let me tell you something. Nobody dies from natural circumstances from the Lord's perspective. Because death is totally unnatural to God. But yet we've been trained to accept death by natural circumstances. But there is no such thing in the world, but not in the kingdom of God. Now I know in these Genesis 3 bodies, the day is coming, they're going to say, I'm sorry, I just can't go any further. And we close our eyes and that's it. I understand that. But when you get into the obituaries, and you see all of what's happened. And sometimes you see the obituary of a person who was mentioned in a story about, you know, being shot or, you know, being attacked and so forth. It's like free advertising for Satan to let us, to remind us of what he's doing here in the world. Well, as I was thinking about this conference, and I would say over the last several months, I began to sense that there is a difference about this conference, a real difference. Now, I know some people say, well, you know, that's preacher talk. I mean, you're supposed to say that every conference. No, yeah. But no, seriously, there's something about this one. Well, like that prophecy we had earlier, a turning point. But there's something different about this conference. In fact, these conferences, they're not pep rallies. I don't know about you, but I've been to conferences and crusades and so forth where the preacher is up there and he's going at it. And people are hooping and hollering and running around and so forth. Well, you know what? I guess there's a time and place for that. But the truth of the matter is, and you may believe differently, but when those services are over and you leave, well, I don't see how that we're any more equipped to go up against the enemy. We have been emotionally stirred. And, you know, that's okay sometimes. Sometimes we just need, you know, a little oomph. But when it comes to living day-to-day life, I want to be equipped for every day. And not only that, I'm at the point now to where I don't really want to hear a whole lot of sis, boom, bah. I want to be fed. I want the table of the Lord to be set. Well, just last night, we ever been to Golden Corral? All right. Golden Corral in the natural is what I want in the spirit. You know, just everything laid out. Because you see, things are getting worse. Let me share something with you here. What we're seeing in the natural, all the stuff we talk about, all the world is getting worse. What we're seeing in the natural is a reflection of what's happening in the spirit. A lot of Christians don't seem to understand that. I was doing some research on what are the worst military battles in all of history. And what now you're going to get different opinions from different people. I get that. But there seems to be a consensus among many historians that the worst battle in all of history began in July of 1942 when the Germans invaded Russia and the goal was to take the major city of Stalingrad. Well, the Russians put up a major fight. In fact, that battle lasted from July of 1942 until February of 1943. And the Russians finally drove the Germans out. The problem was, in those few short months, depending upon which statistics you read, between 1.2 and 2 million people were killed. And at times, the warfare, it wasn't just guns and cannons and tanks and whatever. I mean, they literally were going at it with whatever weapon they could find in their hands. They said the bloodshed was unbelievable. It didn't matter if they were soldiers or civilians. It was horrible. Now you go July to February, that's what, 8 months or something like that? And you have between 1.2 and 2 million people being killed? That's why many believe it was the worst battle in all of history. Well, the other day, it was this past Friday, when Pastor Bronk and Candy arrived here in Dayton, he sent out a text that said, "We've landed." And I read that, and as soon as I did, I had this extremely brief, less than 1 second vision of like them getting off a plane, not with the, you know, the planes pull up and they have that sky bridge. They weren't getting off there. In this vision, they were getting off the plane right out there on the tarmac. And what I saw, and again, this was just so super fast, people coming in for this conference. The Lord said what this represents, not the out loud verbal voice, but the revelation inside, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it. The people coming in for the conference are like soldiers being called in for battle strategy sessions in preparation for both defensive maneuvers and intense counterattacks against an army that has gained much ground. That's why we're here. Those of you watching, it's the same thing, because he went on to help me understand that those of you watching, it's the same thing for you because you're part of this. I've seen movies where there's the war strategy room and they have these great big TVs and there are other military people in other parts of the world and they're all a part of this meeting But some of them, it's by way of, I don't know, not Zoom, but whatever they're doing, a teleconference. That's what's happening here for those of you who are watching. So don't think that this doesn't include you, because it does include you. This war is escalating in a major way. The proof of this is the book of Revelation, because things have to continue getting worse in order for those final 7 years to start taking place. It's setting the stage. I don't know about you, but the last 2.5 weeks have presented themselves with some very challenging situations. You know, I shared with you this past Thursday that Don Scott passed away. Well, the doctors thought he was going to pass away years ago, but he didn't. He survived. But there are others. No need to go into all the detail. And some of the people who have experienced these attacks, they don't go to this church or they don't go to your church, but they might be friends or family, extended. It's increasing. And what God is trying to get across to me and to you is that we have to take this warfare seriously like never before. In this, you know what really makes this hard is the fact that we hear these things over and over and over again to the point we almost become numb to them. You know, like the boy that cried wolf. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's as though God is trying to get across to us, we have to understand that no matter how safe we feel, we are a target. All of us. And then some people say, well, you're scaring people. Well, I don't know why you'd be scared. Are you born again? Yeah. All right. Well, then why are you scared? You know, fear hath torment. Our God is a God of peace. I mean, there's no reason to be afraid. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know what the others this week are going to be ministering on. I just know that this is what the Lord is having me share this morning. But I do know this, that whatever we hear the rest of this week will be part of this equipping that God is wanting to do. And a lot of what we hear this week may indeed be reminders of what we've heard in the past, but it's kind of like what the Apostle Peter wrote, and I'm paraphrasing, I would be wrong if I did not put you in remembrance of these things. Well, now in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 3, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God. Mighty through God. You see that? Mighty through God. Listen, listen. Mighty through God, not mighty through your salvation. Mighty through God. Now here's what that means. You can be born again, but totally clueless. Make it to heaven, totally clueless. Get whooped on your whole life by the enemy and have no idea what's going on. Mighty through God. That means, well, it's like the theme verse for our church, this ministry. You'll see it on the wall as you go down the steps. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6. And that's the way it is, because if we don't understand that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, we're going to be making a huge mistake. A lot of times Christians will say things like, you know, oh, please pray for me, this and that going on, and I just don't know what to do. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Right. Pastor, I need you to pray for me, you know, help me get past this. Help me understand how to, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Yes. So therefore, if we are not going to God, if we're not spending time with the one who provides the weapons, how in the world can we believe we're going to be successful? Yeah. And if you look over in Ephesians chapter 6, And I know that I'm not going to be able to cover all of this morning, so I'll finish it later on this week. But in Ephesians chapter 6, we begin to see from God what He says are the weapons of our warfare. And every one of us in here, we've seen so much of this. But just pick it up. We won't read the whole passage. But he says here in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Well, once again, if my strength is coming from the Lord, and I'm not hanging around Him long enough to receive what He wants to impart to me, then I don't care how strong I feel, I'm wimpy. I'm weak. That's why I no longer look forward to any church services or crusades where it's, you know, the pep rally and, you know, get everybody excited because, okay, praise God, I'm feeling good. Now let's go out and eat. I want more than that. Now that's me. I wasn't like that years ago. But that's me. I want more than that. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So He's telling you right here. This is the source. Right here. And then He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in verse 12, He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Some people have a tendency, Christians now, believe that every sickness comes from Satan. That is not true. We live in a Genesis 3 world that is cursed. These bodies are a part of the Genesis 3 world. They are going to encounter situations and stuff that are, you know, things are going to happen to these bodies that are not Satan. It's just Genesis 3. Even God said, look, you were formed from dust. To dust you're going to return. I mean, that should clue us in that these bodies are not yet glorified. But aside from that, a lot of attacks are from Satan. Absolutely. I mean, even with Jesus, when He was ministering in the four Gospels, some people He just ministered healing to them. Other people He cast out devils. So that tells you right there, it's not always a demon. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, years ago, oh, it's been over 20 years ago, I was doing some research on all of this. And just to kind of give you a little heads up, the Greek and the Hebrew languages are not like English. English is more of a dictionary-oriented language. But the Greek and the Hebrew are more image-oriented languages. They paint pictures more than using a dictionary. I hope that makes some sense. Now, as I was doing this research, it was really interesting because it's almost as though what it's saying here is you have principalities and powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Almost as though it's presenting the image that the rulers are like battalion commanders, and the darkness of this world are the foot soldier demons going around with all the lies and all the deception and so on and so forth. You know, the grunt soldiers, if you will. Now, looking at it from that perspective, here's what you have. You have the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the foot soldiers or the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places. A direct counter to the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. A total counter to what God has established in the church. Why is that? Well, for one thing, Satan, he really doesn't come up with anything original. So think of it like this. He sits back and he says, oh, okay, so Jesus established the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and here's what they're supposed to do. Well, I can do the same thing. I'll just create my own hierarchy, if you will. So what that means is we're in a warfare that we can't see with the natural eye. And I know some people want to talk about, well, how many demons are there? I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, we don't need any more. I mean, there are plenty out there. How many angels are there? I don't know. But you know what? I have more authority than any angel. I mean, I'm born of God. The angels were created. I'm born of God. I'm his child. So are you, if you've accepted Jesus as Savior. Now, all of that said, what God is wanting to do, at least, well, yeah, what he's wanting to do through this whole conference, let me put it in my vernacular. God is hoping that by the end of this week, we understand that we are warriors in a battle with lives at stake. Not just physical lives, but eternal lives. And that no matter who we are, it doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how old, in the kingdom of God, spiritually, we're young and ready to fight. No, we're young. Hopefully, we'll become ready to fight. You know, one of the things that really, I guess you could say it bothers me, it's when people become physically older and they start talking like they can't do anything anymore. Well, you know what? Maybe physically, you do find it a challenge to go up and down steps. But when it comes to spiritually, you're not too old to fight. I mean, you're not. You're not too old to fight. And if you begin to buy into this, well, you know, just not as young as I used to be. Well, okay, physically, you're right. But spiritually, let me tell you something. Spiritually, your youth can be renewed like the eagles. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that said, I'm going to share with you a dream that I had. And anyway, I'll just go ahead and I'll read this to you. The dream began with several hundred Christians standing outside in a grassy area. They were in groups of various sizes and would move from group to group. Everyone was discussing the same thing, spiritual warfare. Although I couldn't hear the specifics of any of the conversations, I knew everyone was talking about spiritual warfare, what it is, how to enter into spiritual warfare, and so forth. On my right hand was a small hill which ran the length of the grassy area. Suddenly, there was a low, rumbling sound coming from the other side of the hill. Someone shouted, "They're coming!" And everyone began scrambling in great confusion. I looked toward the hill, and a massive army of soldiers was marching in perfect order and discipline with rifles on their shoulders. They had a look of absolute determination, one that indicated they were intent on accomplishing their assignment. These soldiers looked exactly like the North Korean army and were under the command of an officer on horseback. As they marched toward us, people began looking for weapons. I ran to get a rifle of my own, and just as I picked it up, someone yelled out, "It's too late! They're already here!" I turned to look and saw that the soldiers had marched into the midst of the Christians. As I stood there watching, I noticed that the Christians were talking to the soldiers and trying to make friends with them to keep from getting killed. This is where the dream ended. I awoke and began meditating on the meaning of the dream. The Lord began ministering to me and said, "This is the way my church is to me. They talk about spiritual warfare, but do nothing to be fully equipped to engage the enemy. Then, when the enemy marches into their lives, they are filled with confusion. They only try to develop their spiritual armor after the attack has begun. The army in your dream represents the highly disciplined armies of darkness. They are more prepared for battle than my church. This is why they succeed over and over. They are well trained and fully determined to accomplish their assignment. Until my children learn to stay in my presence to be equipped for battle, They will try to fight with their own understanding and will lose every time. Is that not what we're seeing? Absolutely. What's amazing to me is how many times Christians, they get whomped on by the devil and they act like they don't know what's going on. Well, the devil, he found an opening in my life. He found a gap in my armor. And what, you know what? Stop making excuses. What I mean is, okay, you ever think about Jesus and how he handled these situations? You know, he's in the middle of a sermon and some demon jumps up, we know who you are. And Jesus just told him, hush up and come out. It wasn't any big deal to him. It was never any big deal. Remember, he tells the apostles, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. So they're headed to the other side. They get to the other side, and what happens? This crazy naked guy comes running out of the tombs. He's all cut up and bleeding. And, he's making a scene. And the Bible says that demons operated through him so much that they couldn't keep him shackled. He'd break the chains. Okay, now, do you think when they got to the other side and here comes crazy naked dude, do you think that surprised Jesus? Do you think you stood there and said, whoa, God, is this, what's going on? Boys, get back in the boat. Let's get out of here. No. He went over there for that reason. He went there for a reason. And now what about the rest of the apostles? You imagine what was going on in their mind? I mean, I can just see them. I really like to use my imagination. There's Jesus, and here they come running. Here comes naked dude. And he's screaming, yelling, foaming at the mouth. And I can just see the apostles. They all jump in line behind Jesus, and they're peeking around. Go, Jesus, go get him. Peter, get the boat ready. That didn't scare Jesus at all. He just said, come out of him. And that thing started to put up a little resistance. And Jesus said, who do you think you are? My name is Legion, for we are many. Okay, we still got to come out. Well, can we go into pigs? And Jesus said, well, yeah, I mean, we're Jews. We can't eat them, so go ahead. Okay, that's my amplified version of the story. Here's an illustration. Can you imagine you have a bunch of guys and they enlist in the army? And so there they are. They're in the enlistment center. And the recruiter says, okay, boys, everybody, make your pledge and so forth. And so they, I pledge to be a good soldier and everything they say. He says, all right, let's go. And they march them out the back door. It's a great big plane, one of those troop transport planes. All right, everybody get on, everybody get on. So they all get on board that big plane. And the plane is flying for hours. And it gets to a war zone and it lands. And there's the sergeant. And he says, all right, boys, time to get off. And as they're getting off the plane, they're handing them a machine gun, or whatever they use nowadays. And they said, all right, let's go, let's go. And so these guys, yeah, we're going to get the enemy. And they go running out. Here comes the enemy. And they're standing there trying to figure out where's the trigger. They don't even know how to turn the safety off so they can shoot. You think they're going to win that battle? But they're in the army. Why, they've got a gun. They think they're ready. You know what? Here we are, Christians. We got a gun. And we carry it. But if we don't know how to use it as a weapon, and guess what? We're not going to win. And I'm telling you right now, far too many Christians are trying to live on the faith and spiritual maturity of other believers. Well, because I go to this church, I'm more than a conqueror. Not, you know that whole phrase, more than a conqueror? That is a prophetic statement, meaning we don't have to live as more of a conqueror. We can live in defeat, still make it to heaven. We just don't understand. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So you know what? If that was his purpose, and later on he made the statement, Father, as you've sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world, then guess what? Here's a variation on that theme. For the purpose, you know, our purpose for being born again is to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I know to live kingdom life and witness and so on, I understand all of that. But the warfare is included. And I'll be the first one to admit I've been too passive in this. Far more passive than I need to be. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the end of that verse, it tells us that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. The sad thing is, a lot of Christians, the way they talk, it's like they're clueless. They don't, well, we just don't know what the devil's going to do. But we're not ignorant of his devices, his methods of attack. Think of it like that. Let me give you an Old Testament example. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria made war with Israel. And Israel was pretty scared about this because, well, they were looking to themselves and they weren't so sure they could win this war. But two times God revealed to Elisha Syria's plans. Then Elisha told the king of Israel, now here's what is going on the other side. And here's what you need to avoid. Well, the king of Syria got really frustrated. He thought there was a spy in the midst. He said, I want to know who is it in my court who's for the king of Israel. And one of them wised up and they said, look, king, none of us are traitors. But you need to know, there's this guy over there with Israel, a prophet of God, Elisha. He knows everything you're doing. In fact, he knows what you're doing in your bedroom. That's what it says. Well, that doesn't make you paranoid. I don't know what does. And then the king of Syria said, well, we need to find this guy and shut him down. So they go looking for Elisha. And this whole event, it led to the defeat of the Syrian army. I don't know if you remember the story, but Elisha said, now I'm paraphrasing, he said, God, look at all these soldiers. Strike them blind. So God struck them blind, and then they didn't know what to do, so Elisha led them right into Israel's fortress. And then they got their sight back. Well, anyway, the point I'm making is this. God revealed to Elisha the plans of the enemy. And I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit can still do that for us. Absolutely, let us know. Now, in May of 2023, Pastor Bronk Flint sent out his monthly letter. By the way, you can get on his mailing list and get his letters. And the title of that May 2023 letter was Behind Enemy Lines. Now, I'm not going to read the entire letter, but part of it, the Lord impressed upon Pastor Bronk, and he shared what the Lord said. The war has changed from flesh to devils. The revivalists have crossed the line from a warfare of flesh to a warfare of devils. Now, if you want to understand all of that a little bit more clearly, just go on social media and read the posts of so many Christians. They want to hammer the political party they don't like. They run their mouth. I mean, they are totally clueless, and they think that we're battling exclusively against people. And God is saying, I don't think you understand this. There's something going on in the realm of the Spirit, and you're not grasping the magnitude of the problem. Well, in this letter, Pastor Bronk wrote, recently the Lord had me share a series of messages in which he spoke to me personally concerning the troop movement of demonic powers against the church. Now, those sermons are there available at his website, and if I remember correctly, they're not just in May, but they were maybe March, April, May of 2023. Now, you can go and download those sermons, and I encourage you to do so. They're really good. Well, he continued and said, as I said in these teachings, this is not an exhaustive list concerning the troop movement or the areas of attack, but a specific list given to me by the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor Bronk, if I'm wrong on this, correct me, but weren't you outside doing yard work when all of a sudden the Holy Ghost interrupted his yard work? I guess you were kind of glad about that. No more yard work. I'm hearing from the Lord. And he had to go in all hot and sweaty and start documenting what the Holy Spirit was saying. I mean, the Holy Spirit didn't even give him time to take a shower and clean up. He said, I don't care what you smell like. I've got something to tell you. Well, he said his main objective, the enemy, the Lord said in essence that the enemy is going to come with a resurgence of certain attacks to try and subvert the confidence of the revivalist. His main objective will be to diminish their confidence and question themselves in their place of gained dominion over these areas. He would love to reseed these strongholds back into our lives if at all possible. This is the list below. Remember that these attacks do not necessarily have to be against you personally, but could and most likely will involve your family as well. Now, here are the eight areas the Holy Spirit specifically identified as areas that the enemy is going to be attacking. One, infirmity, meaning physical things that you have to battle. Two, division. Three, lust and perversion. Four, another gospel, meaning that, to simplify it, that which is opposite of the truth but can be made to sound good to the immature believer. Good way to put that. Number five, diversions. Number six, lukewarm, meaning allowing our first love for Christ to wane. Another way to put the lukewarm, that how I would say it, would be having your priorities out of order. Number seven, excuses. Oh my goodness, are we good with excuses? Boy, you guys don't want to admit to anything, do you? We're good with excuses. Got to do this, got to do that. And I'll tell you what, when it comes close to conference time, you can have a boatload of excuses. I mean, it's a fight to have any kind of time of prayer or in the Word because there's so much that needs to be done. Well, and number eight, destruction of reasonings and emotions. In other words, your mind isn't working right. And you begin thinking things that to other people make no sense whatsoever. You begin entering to a time of emotional upheaval. That would include feelings of exasperation, feelings of failure, feelings of I don't know what to do, feelings of worry, on and on it goes. Destruction of reasonings and emotions. And you know that last one, that destruction of reasonings and emotions? When Christians get into that, when that attack is happening, I'm telling you what, it's hard to have a conversation with them because they are totally convinced that what they think is right. And they will dismiss what you tell them. It's so hard. You almost don't want to say anything to them because they're just going to argue and try to make you feel like you're the one that's messed up in the head. Well, there's an attack in this area. It's happening. Now, granted, not everybody is going to be attacked in the exact same way. But all those little foot soldiers, you know, they're out there doing what they can. And quite frankly, out of those eight, I'm guessing everyone in here has been attacked in at least one of those areas at some point in time within the last 30 days. Again, I don't know that for a fact. I'm just speculating. But within the last 30 days, something about this. In that sermon, or in his letter, but in those sermons, there was also a prophetic word that the Lord shared through Pastor Bronk, and I'm going to read this to you. "For did I not say in my word and by my spirit that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, made up of carnal things, reasonings, perceptions of the flesh, being able to understand things through the mind and through those things perceived around you? But the weapons of your warfare are mighty through my spirit to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. For know that the enemy is stirred up against this place and against your determination to walk in. But do not fear, little flock, for I have called you. And if I have called you, then I have exalted you to a place to rule and reign with me, not only in the eternities to come, but present tense. Did I not tell you to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? But this wisdom cannot come through a perception that comes by the outward senses. Do not trust your outward senses. Do not put stock in feelings, emotions, or reasonings of the mind. But I say unto you, judge all things by my spirit. Listen, let peace, your spiritual feet, be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is the witness of peace inside each one of you that follows me on this journey into the fullness of God. For humbling yourself and denying the flesh or the mind the opportunity to reason all things out will be to separate yourself moment by moment when necessary and step out of the fray and judge all things by the Spirit and say, Lord, I only see by your eyes, I hear only by your ears, and I will confess only by your mouth, says the Spirit of the Lord. For the church at large gropes blind in darkness, although they say they can see. But they live out of carnality, not just in the appetites of the flesh, but in the judgment of things around them, not seeing spiritual things or hearing by my spirit. But denying the flesh is not just shutting down appetites of the flesh, but denying the flesh is not giving it any room for spiritual judgment. It cannot sit on the court of spiritual judgment. It cannot sit on the place of jury to make any decisions. All final authority and all final decisions come from my spirit and out of my words, says the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm raising you up for this hour. Hear what the Spirit would say. Hear what the Spirit would say. Your weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They will exalt you. Mine is for you to walk in a constant peace, knowing that when you feel yourself wavering in peace and feeling the effects of the hour, that you're not ruling entirely at the moment out of the spirit man inside of you. Regroup. Regroup, says the Spirit of the Lord. Continue to regroup, and you'll learn this place of constant, continual, everlasting peace, says the Spirit of grace. And by this, will be the which I'll bring forth a great outpouring with people who against the enemy will stir up his vengeance, but it will have no effect, says the Spirit of grace. Now, we have to take this seriously. We have to. The time has come. You know, you ever heard that in a sermon before? The time has come. Well, that's another catchphrase we're so common with. And somebody says, the time has come, and it's almost like we zone out immediately. Yeah, heard that before. We need to evaluate what we are doing with our time. You know, the Lord talks about, redeeming the time. You know, the days are evil. Okay, well, he's telling us why we need to redeem the time, because the days are evil. And the warfare is intensifying. The warfare is getting greater and greater. We need to really evaluate what we're doing. We've all heard this before, but how much time are we spending on social media? I mean, really, how did we survive before Facebook? I don't know, Brother Martin. I don't know. Because I get all my theology from Facebook. Sadly, that's the way it is. Well, Facebook can be great, but it's one of the worst things that's ever happened to humanity. because Facebook has become, and Facebook and YouTube, they have become the pulpit for the world. Just try and correct some of those people. You're going to regret you didn't. How much time do we spend on social media? There are people that use social media like Facebook from other countries or whatever, you know, they communicate with me by way of the messenger. How much time do we do that? And, you know, television and so forth. I mean, we all know this. We all know. But the time is coming. We're going to have to reevaluate. You know, a long time ago, the Lord helped me understand one of the reasons that people in the early church were so successful. They didn't have a TV. They didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have a computer. They did not have the internet. They did not have social media. All they had was each other and God. That was it. That's all they had. And think of it like this. What if we made a decision? Well, that's how I'm going to live from now on. Well, in this day and age, we need phones. I understand that. But what if we just started shutting other things down? How many of you have ever heard of binge watching? Look at you. You're all guilty. You're trying to put on this, what? Y'all done it? You know you have. Repent for lying. It's like a drug. You find a show you like, oh, I haven't seen this in 35 years. Oh, my goodness. I forget what it's all about. We got to watch this. Well, okay, you know, I know we're almost done with season one. What time is it? 4 a.m. That's okay. We all laugh because maybe we've not done it, but we've heard. And you know what I got to thinking about that whole concept of paring down? And I have to tell you, I know it's going to be a fight, a huge fight, because we've trained ourselves to be addicted to all that stuff. Well, you know what? When they have these rehab centers and people are trying to, you know, break drug addiction, many times what they do is they slowly try to wean the person off the drug. And they give them something else to help ease the pain. You know what I'm saying? Well, here's the thing. We've got something else to help us ease the pain. You say, Brother Martin, I just don't know that I can do this. All right, but this is a part of the preparation. This is a part of the equipping. When Satan attacks, we don't want to have to say, well, the glory of my life is you know, watching reruns of Gilligan's Island. You know, some of you, you don't know Gilligan's who? Never mind. You understand what I'm saying? And you think it's too hard. I just don't think I can stop it. I mean, this is what I do, this is what I, all right, I'm going to help you out right here. Seriously. If you want to really begin breaking away from all this, here's what you do. While you are watching, pray softly in tongues. Seriously. Pray softly in tongues. Every TV show, the whole show. And I'm telling you what's going to happen. Eventually, that anointing that's going to be released by the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you're going to start drifting away from the television, drifting away from the social media. You're going to go through withdrawal, and it's going to be painless. I'm not just saying this to, you know, pass along grandfatherly advice. No, I'm saying this because I know. I've gone through this myself. Folks, if we don't take this warfare seriously, we're setting ourselves up for some massive problems. And we need to understand that, yes, the victory is ours. And I want to live in victory now, knowing there are going to be battles. I mean, my goodness, look at the Apostle Paul. You talk about battles, but you know what? He said, I figured out. God's grace is sufficient. So no matter what happens, I know I can rely on the grace of God and that strength, and I'm going to make it. I will make it through. I may get whooped on, my boat may sink, stuff may happen, but I'm going to make it. God's grace is sufficient for me. Thank God His grace is sufficient for every one of us. Now as we continue this week, again, I don't know what the others are going to minister, but I do know this. Whatever we hear taught this week, it's all going to be a part of this equipping process. It's almost like here we are, we're learning this week more and more how to put on the armor. And I want the devil to be afraid of us more than he's ever been in his existence. I want him to be sorry we were born. I want him to wish that we just, you know, go on and, like the Apostle Paul said, you know, to me, to live is Christ. And, you know, to go on and be with the Lord, that'd be a whole lot better. However, to hang around for you is more advantageous. So I tell you what, I'm just going to hang around for you guys. We need to hang around and whoop on the devil and harvest more souls into the kingdom. So when the trumpet sounds, glory to God, we're going to go up with a shout. Amen. Amen.